Heavenly Father, it is my prayer at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable at this time, now and forever. Amen. Well, a while ago, we spent some time talking about who Jesus was. We were looking at the I am statements that he made about who he was. And I wanted to take some time, I think, starting with today, looking at who we are. And in particular, looking at who we are in God's eyes. And I want to start today with, in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, it says, "Yet all who received him and those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God." Take a look at us in the idea that we are children of God. We are sons and daughters of God. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17 says, "Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs to God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, or order that we may also share in his glory." You see, we are children of God, not in the fact that he created us, but he created everyone. But the fact that we have accepted him makes us his children, adopted into his family. And one of the neat things that the way this is put in here, adoption is kind of a peculiar thing throughout history. It changes from time to time. And in the time that Paul was writing this letter to the Romans certainly understood adoption in a way very different than we understand it today. Normally, when we talk about adoption today, it's a family that's taking an orphan child into their own. Well, they didn't really do that back then. When you adopted people back in the days of the Roman Empire, you adopted them when they were adults. That would certainly save a lot of time and money waiting to adopt people when they were adults. But the reason people were adopted was for instances of passing on your name and passing on your lineage. If you did not have children of your own, how would you leave something to the next generation? So what you would do is you would seek someone to adopt who would take your name and, when the time came, would take your fortune as well. You see, the interesting thing about adoption then as compared to adoption today, when you're adopting a small baby, that baby doesn't have any choice. But in Rome, when you were adopting an adult, they had to agree. As it is with us, when God adopts us, he has certainly offered to adopt everyone. But as Christians, we have said yes. So we take on his name as we call ourselves Christians. We become part of his family as we call ourselves Christians, brothers and sisters with Christ, fellow heirs to the kingdom of heaven. How long has it been since you've really realized that you are a prince or princess? How often do we consider that? Well, we are heirs to the kingdom of God, sons and daughters of the King of Kings, brothers and sisters to the Prince of Peace. So adopted we are, princes and princesses, who have the opportunity to cry out to God, to call him Abba. Abba is the ancient Aramaic word for daddy. When Jesus was hanging on the cross and he cried out, Abba, he was crying out to his daddy. It would have been the first word that most children speak. Most children would have spoken then, Abba, daddy. Ruby's not here for me to embarrass, but I'm going to tell a story about her anyway. When she was a little tiny baby in her crib, I remember one afternoon going up, I heard her wake up from her nap, and she wouldn't wake up from her naps crying, but she'd be kind of singing and going la-la and whatnot, and just making enough noise for us to know she was awake and ready to get out of her crib. And I went up, and she was standing in her crib at the foot of her crib waiting for me, and she looked at me, and she said, Daddy. It was the first word I ever heard her say. She said, Daddy. And I was so excited, I ran downstairs to where Robin was. I left her in the crib. I ran down to Robin. I said, Robin, come on up quick. Ruby said her first word. Robin said, what did she say? She said, Daddy. So we went upstairs with Ruby and we opened the door and she's standing there. And I said, Ruby, who am I? She said, yeah, she was right. But we have the opportunity to cry out to Daddy. When we are children and we are hurt, we cry out to Daddy. And even today, though we may not be physically children anymore, and we need someone to cry out to, we cry out to Daddy because we are His children. More formally, we call Him our Heavenly Father. But we are His children. We have the right to call Him Daddy. Though we are not naturally born to Him, born to our own parents, we can still call Him Daddy as we are adopted. It's an offer that He made not only to us, but to all mankind. And some accept it, some do not. You see, just as in Rome, there are really no strings attached to it for us. It doesn't cost us anything to be adopted other than the fact to say yes and to change our names and to be a part of that family. We are still in our natural family as well. And today you don't see a whole lot of people actually changing their names. But we call ourselves Christian now when before we would not have. Or maybe we would have, I'm not sure. You see, there are so many people in this world who, well, maybe not in the whole world. I'm going to pick on the United States. There are so many people in this country who will call themselves Christian just because they don't know what else to call themselves. I know there was a statement made toward the end of Pope Benedict's career. He said that we cannot call ourselves Christians simply because we are born into Christian families. We can only call ourselves Christians if we follow Christ. I was a little bit surprised to hear a high church official, especially someone as important and as popular as a pope, to say something like that. But you see so many people who just call themselves Christians because they don't know what else to call themselves. Or maybe because, well, my parents and my grandparents were Christians, so I must be a Christian as well, without really thinking about what that means. It means a follower of Christ. It doesn't just mean you go to church on Christmas Eve, and maybe Easter Sunday if you can get up, or if someone wakes you. We are children of God. We are brothers and sisters of Christ. And that also makes us brothers and sisters of one another, something else that we sometimes forget. We are in a relationship with one another where, as our relationship with God the Father is ideal, you know, I understand the fact that some people didn't have good relationships with their fathers, with their earthly fathers. Father may not have been there all the time. He may not have been there at all. I understand that. But God is our Father, is the Father the way our fathers should have been. And we, as brothers and sisters with Christ, of Christ, and brothers and sisters of one another, need to be the brothers and sisters we should be. You know, I don't know how many of you did or didn't have brothers and sisters, and I don't know what kind of relationships you had with your brothers and sisters, but I haven't seen a whole lot of brother and sister relationships that were exactly perfect. I know I had two brothers, and I didn't really know either of them that well because they were much older than me. Our relationships are good now, but I know my brother Tom, when I was younger, he used to, every opportunity he had, he would push down on the top of my head as hard as he could to keep me from growing because he didn't want me to be bigger than him. Well, I am. It didn't work. Dad was very careful not to let them pick on me too much. He told Tom he couldn't fight with me until I was 16. And when I turned 16, he tried to push me over. I pushed him back. I won. We've had a good relationship ever since then, I think. I know Robin has a little brother who they used to fight all the time. And they were always trying to get each other in trouble. One of my favorite stories about the two of them is Robin's little brother, Billy, once bit himself on the arm really hard and left teeth marks. Then went crying to Mom. Robbie bit me, look. So Robin's mother, being the dutiful parent, called her daughter into the room and said, did you bite your brother? She said, no, I didn't bite him. Well, he has teeth marks. Those aren't my teeth marks, she said. My teeth marks look like this. She grabbed his arm and bit him. She figured she was going to get in trouble anyway. She might as well do the thing that was going to get her into trouble. Why do we do the same thing? Our relationship with God should be perfect. Our relationships with one another should be perfect as we are His children. He has raised us to love one another, and sometimes we fail. We have a responsibility, do we not, to one another, princes and princesses of heaven, children of the King. I know in some royal courts in the world, they have the princes and princesses have a very adversarial relationship. I was watching a film where It was an older kingdom. I don't remember exactly where, but at a certain age, it became the duty of the princes and princesses to kill one another. Because one day when the king died, one of them would need to become the king or queen. It would be the survivor. They took every opportunity they had to weaken their opponents, their brothers and sisters, so that they would one day be the king or queen. Well, young princes and princesses, if that is the kind of thought that we are going through, let me assure you of this. Our Father in heaven, our Abba Daddy, the King of the universe, is not going to die. The best we can ever hope for is to be a prince or princess. I accept that responsibility joyfully because I know the best I can ever do on my own isn't much at all. I heard an interesting quote this past week. I really wish I could remember who said it. We go to God seeking his help because the best we can ever do on our own sent his son to his death. I accept everything God gives me, good or bad. I am so happy, so joyful, so pleased to be called his son. It is a great blessing, though it is a great responsibility as well. How do you, my brothers and sisters, take that responsibility? With joy, or is it burden?
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
Well, the benediction is the good and final word, and we put that at the end so that you don't miss what came in front of it. And our good and final word for us today is to remember that we are children of God. He gives us his best. He gives us the best, sometimes whether we want it or not. He calls us his children. He calls us princes and princesses of heaven. That's a great responsibility. He offers it to all, and we have taken it up as we call ourselves Christians. Let us remember this week as we are living our lives that we have something to live up to. We are children of God, the greatest blessing anyone can have. Let us not forget that as we go through our week. This service is over. Your service may now begin. Go from this place, children of God, and be a blessing to those you meet. Amen.